coming, and appreciate blending your voices together with us tonight to encourage each other. I hope you realize your presence alone is encouraging us, and you're blending your voice together with us is helping us to be able to praise the great and wonderful God that we serve. And so you're helping us already just by being here. And we certainly appreciate that. And we hope that as we spend some time together, we're going to look at the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John tonight and talk about the role of the Holy Spirit, that maybe if there's something that you see that you maybe have not done or something you need to tend to, that you will see the need to do that tonight by confessing wrongs if you've done that, or confessing there are things that you were ignorant of that you need to get busy doing, or even just trying to, maybe if you're here and need to obey the gospel and to begin the Christian walk, well, we'd be glad to help you any way that we can. So if we can do that, and something is said not that may make you think along those lines, well, we'll sure be glad to help you, and we'll be rejoicing with you if you determine to get your life right with God. I want you to look at, first of all, the statement that's made in the 26th verse of the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. You know, the 14th chapter, really, we mentioned from the 13th chapter to the 17th chapter, this is the upper room, and Jesus, this is his last night before he's going to be put to death the next day. And so he's talking to these disciples about getting ready for what's going to happen and why this is happening and what he's going to do and how they are going to, he's going to be moved out of the way, and now the brunt of the trouble is going to come upon them now. And so he wants them to know that you're going to be okay, because I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go to my Father. I'm going to go through the cross and through the grave and go back into heaven finally. And so the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to be the comforter. He's going to help you. He's going to stand by you, and he's going to convict the world, so you don't have to worry about trying to have some big job you can't accomplish. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to tend to that work and do it in such a way that you won't have to fear, worry. You don't need to even premeditate and try to think about what you'll say before you deliver before people, because the Holy Spirit will give that to you in that very hour. That's what he told these apostles, you see, these inspired men. And when we see Peter, of course, preaching the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, we see that's exactly what happened. Peter opened his mouth, and by the inspiration of the Spirit, he preached one of those great sermons that you can preach over and over all over the world, and it will still do the same thing. It will cause people to be pierced to their heart and cause them to cry out and say, "What shall we do?" But I want you to notice in the statement here in verse 26 of John the 15th chapter, it says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth out from the Father, he shall testify of me." Now think about this word testify. I want to do something a little strange tonight. I want you to notice that we're going to look at some terms that are courtroom terms. And this word testify, you know, in the Old Testament, when there were two or three witnesses that confirmed something, and one person could not confirm a testimony against somebody having a death penalty or anything else, there would be two or three witnesses to make that established and to stand. And so here now is the picture of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's going to come. He is going to testify of me. He's going to tell about me. He's going to proclaim the things that you don't know yet or you have forgotten. He's going to tell all you all those things. He's the Spirit of truth. He's going to make all of that known to you. So that's the first term I want you to think about. But now notice in the 16th chapter, we've got to read a little further to get the rest of them, but listen to the 16th chapter for a moment or two, and listen to what's said in verse 1. "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time will come when whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service." Now think about that. Here's something telling us about people who are convicted and convinced about something, and they think they are so right that they go out and they do something to crucify or to kill or to destroy God's people, and they think they're doing God's service. You know what that tells us? Just because you're serious, and just because you really believe something, and just because you have some religious convictions, does not mean you're right. Think about that. The only way we can know what is right, we're going to see, is that we have to depend on revelation. We have to depend on the Spirit of truth. That's how we can know. And so there will be people. What was the Apostle Paul doing? He said he did it with a good conscience. He was killing and putting Christians in prison and doing all sorts of things to work against and persecuting the Lord, Jesus said. And yet he was convinced he was doing right. So don't think, well, I'm serious and I really believe this and I believe this all my life and I must be right because that's what I'm doing. No, you need to stop in your tracks and say, wait a minute. What does the Spirit of truth say about that? Maybe I need to go back all the time and re-examine myself, because the Spirit has come and testified and told these men everything Jesus wanted them to know. And so now notice he's helping us to see that there are going to be people, and he's telling these men, listen, I'm telling you this, so when it happens, you won't fall away, you won't get discouraged. I told you this is the way it's going to be, so when it happens, you'll say, well, he told me about that, and that's exactly what happened. And they're going to see that they will be put out of the synagogue, and some will be put to death because people are convinced and convicted. So notice, if you look back at the latter part of the 15th chapter, we didn't go up far enough to see that the world will hate you. Jesus said, the world hated me before it hated you. The world is going to hate you, so there's no love lost between us and the world. They're not going to love us. But now we see what is going to be one of the great problems with Christianity is that religious people will be some of the greatest opponents of truth. Think about that. Have you thought about in America sometime when you talk to people? Sometime who gets the most angriest at you? Somebody who's a drunk you're trying to encourage to come to church? Or somebody who goes to church in some man-made religion and you show them something about the Bible and they just get fumingly mad at you and can't stand you and want to destroy you because you just told them what the Bible said? You see, it's religious people, Jesus is saying, who will be the ones who will create some of the greatest trouble you will have, and they will want to kill you and think they're doing God's service. They'll want to hate you. Religious people will. And so don't rest on the fact that, well, I'm zealous and I'm convinced that I'm right. You go back to what the Spirit of truth says all the time. But now notice what he says next. And he says in verse 3, and these things they will do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Now notice, we've talked about that over and over. Knowing Jesus, abiding in Jesus, living in Jesus, him dwelling in you, you dwelling in him, the Father dwelling in you, you dwelling in the Father, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and you dwelling in the Holy Spirit. It's a relationship. It's because of these words that we have this relationship. But he says, this is what you will see in verse 4, but these things have I told you, but that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. So Jesus said, when I was here with you and I was going along, did you all see what was happening? Everything was happening to Jesus. They were after Jesus. They weren't really trying to kill the apostles. They were wanting to destroy Jesus, wanting to arrest him, wanting to put him to death. But Jesus said, now, I didn't tell you all this because I was here and I was taking all, but now it's going to fall on you, you see. You're going to have some trouble. You're going to face some problems. You're going to have some challenges that you need to think about. And so Jesus said, I'm telling this to you, so when it happens, you won't be shocked. And you'll remember I told you, you're having a pretty difficult time, aren't you? And religious people, the world hates you, and religious people can't stand you. And so I told you that's the way it would be. That's the way they treated me. They're going to treat you the same way. And so he says then in verse 5, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me whether goest thou. And they might say, oh, wait a minute, we just studied the other night that somebody asked where you're going, and we don't know the way. But when you see what they were asking because they were concerned about themselves and what they were going to do, rather than saying, what about you, Jesus? What are you going to do? How's this going to be for you? They weren't focusing on the fact he was thinking about the cross, thinking about his death, what he had told them about. They didn't understand that on at least two occasions when he told them about that, because they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest. Isn't that something? They couldn't understand the cross because they were fussing about who's going to be the big dog when the Lord's gone? Who's going to be in charge when he's gone? And so they couldn't get that. And so here now, he wants them to see that they weren't asking the right question or looking at it from the right perspective. What are you doing, Jesus? Why are you doing this? And so why are you going, and where are you going? What are you going to accomplish? He said, that's what you need to concern yourself with. But now notice verse 6, because I said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Now notice, they were troubled and struggling. So now they're seeing he's going, and they're seeing this trouble's going to come upon them. We saw that he said, all of you are going to betray me, and you're going to leave me, and Peter, you're going to deny me. Judas is going to betray me. And so all these things are going to happen. And so now he says, you're going to face a lot of other trouble. There's going to be a lot of... So you can just imagine now, as they're sitting in the upper room and they're getting these last pictures of what's going to happen, the sorrow they're feeling. Jesus is leaving. We're going to have trouble. We're going to be... When he's crucified, we're going to go and put in the tomb. We're going to go in the room and lock the door and hide because the Jews are going to be hunting us. We know we're going to be next. And so these men now are troubled with sorrow because they've heard this. But now verse 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or good or profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now think about this word now. Here we've got these different words in the text here. We've got this word, first of all, testify. Now we've got this word comforter here. This word comforter is the word paraclete. It's the word for standing alongside. It's for like a lawyer pleading a case for somebody. Somebody putting up a defense and speaking in defense of somebody. But it also is, when you think about what we're going to see here, that this lawyer, this paraclete that's going to come, he's not going to be testifying to the judge as a lawyer would do today in a courtroom. He's going to be testifying not to convince the judge that they're guilty, but he's going to be testifying to the people that are guilty that you are guilty. That's what the Spirit's going to come and do. He's going to try to convince us. We sometimes are not so concerned about religion. We're not committed to it. We're not dedicated to it because we are not convinced we're sinners separated from God, and we're going to be lost forever if we don't get our hands on that. So the Spirit's going to come to the world and try to convince us and convict us. But here, this paraclete, another legal term is used there, you see. And then notice he says, when he has come, and I depart from you, verse 8 says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world. Now this word reprove means to convict. It means to convince. It means to bring forth proof and evidence that these people are guilty. Now, here's another legal term, you see. We see the Holy Spirit here is coming, and we see the legal work. I hope that's not a mistake to say. The legal work of what the Holy Spirit would come into the world and what he would do and what the apostles needed to see, he was coming to do in this world. And so when we get that into our head, we will not be troubled and bothered anymore when we have to tell somebody that they're doing something wrong, or we show them what the Bible says. We're not really doing that. The Holy Spirit, when you read the Bible to somebody and show them in the gospel that we're not to be ashamed of, this gospel reveals the righteousness of God and how people can be right. And so the Holy Spirit, when I read the Bible to somebody, and usually when somebody asks a question, the best thing to do is have a little Bible in your pocket and just pull it out and say, wait a minute, what does the Bible say here about that? And so try to find some Bible verse and don't even say anything. Just say, what does that mean? Can you read that to me and explain that to me? I used to do that all the time when I first obeyed the gospel. I had two verses that I used all the time with people. I say, you know, I hear you're religious to go to church. And I said, I'm going to church and I'm religious too. And I said, you know, people have different ideas. And I said, would you explain to me how Jesus would say in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And so I said, could you explain to me how people say, you don't have to do that. You don't have to believe that. I said, could you explain that to me? I'm having trouble. I'm not very smart. Could you explain to me how people do? And they would get so upset. I said, look, I just wanted you to explain it to me why the Bible says it, and you say we don't need to do it, you know. And I would do the same thing with Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and just show them, well, here again, the Bible says it. How come people say we don't have to do that? But when you see just letting the Bible do its work, the Bible will do it. And the Holy Spirit has revealed it. He's given it to us. And so when we take the Holy Spirit's word and we show that to people and convince them, this is what the Holy Spirit said, and you need to do that, really, he's doing the work. So don't be afraid. Don't be bothered. Don't be troubled. It's not you, you see. And so when he says to us that he shall reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, you remember in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, when Paul was preaching, or maybe that's, I get that mixed up, 24th chapter. when he was preaching to Felix, and he preached about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. When he preached those four things, the Bible says, you know what Felix did? Felix trembled. He thought about what Paul was preaching. You mean to tell me that being right with God, there's something I need to do to be right with God, and I can only be right with God by what God says about how to get right with Him, and then to think about myself, first of all, how I need to be right with God, and then what I should do about controlling myself. I've got to control myself and do that. And then to think about the fact that you are going to stand before God. He's going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and who obey not the gospel. And when Felix heard that, he had enough sense to be afraid and decided he didn't want to hear much more about that. And he looked for a more convenient season, some other way to get around, trying to get around what that had to say. But we need to see, here's the picture of these terms, righteousness. He's going to reprove the world of sin. So the Holy Spirit has come to convince us, to convict us, and to convince us that we're sinners. That's what he came. We need to sense that and see that and realize every day, get up and say, God, when I wake up in the morning, I say, and when I go to preach, I say, God, if you can use me, I'm not worthy. All my righteousness, Isaiah 64, is as filthy rags. Luke 17 and verse, is it verse 20? I get mixed up. When we've done all that we should have done, we should say, I'm still an unprofitable servant. There's none of us that are good. None of us that are right. We've all failed. And so, and we might think, well, now I've got it all together now. No, you don't have it together yet. God is taking care of you. God's mercy is helping you. And you just need to keep walking in the light and confessing what you're doing. And when we do that, you see, it's because of the walk, the nature of the walk, and it's not the perfection, it's not the degrees that makes us right. If that's the case, a person baptized, they're not saved because there are a lot of things they don't know and they're ignorant about. No, they're saved when they obey the gospel because it's not the degrees. They say, God, I'm sorry, and I'm going to do what's right. Now, they don't know what right is half the time, but they're determined to do that. It's the kind of walk, you see, walking in the light. And so what we see here is the picture of the Spirit reproving, convicting, convincing the world of righteousness, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And notice he says then, after he makes that statement, he says of sin because they believe not on me. Now think about this. He said, let me give you a little explanation I'm trying to tell you about here. He said, you know what the real problem is? And when you think about this, I mentioned already about putting your faith in the Lord, trusting in the Lord and trusting on the Lord. I was in India when a fellow was writing a concordance on Telugu and the Bible in Telugu and how to explain Telugu Bible in the Telugu language to people. And he had this word, the prepositions he was struggling with. And so he was in this room and he had some people who were students of Telugu. And he was sitting in this chair and he leaned up on this one leg. This chair is an old guy, and I thought he was going to kill himself. He said, what am I doing when I've got all my weight leaning on this one leg like this? What is the word when I've got everything on this one thing? And this fellow said a word. He said, that's the word I want. Because when you think about on Jesus, that means to rest everything. Put your trust. Don't put confidence in yourself. That's what we do half the time. We think I got this going, and I'm going to solve this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to take care. You're not going to take care of anything. You put your trust in the Lord. You put all your confidence in Him. You believe in Him. You put your faith in Him, you see. And whatever He says, you say, that settles it for me. And if I don't know, I'll find out. But whatever He says, that settles it for me. And so the sin that He is trying to convince us of is we have never really trusted the Lord. If we did, we'd be different people. We'd live different. We'd be more committed and dedicated. So the Holy Spirit came into the world, the sole purpose to convict us and convince us, first of all, of sin, because we don't believe in the Lord. You think about the statement again in Acts, the second chapter. What happened when Peter preached that sermon? He said, you know, the Lord has made him both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. That's what these words did to them. It was the words Peter spoke. It wasn't the Holy Spirit that had some kind of miraculous action on them. They heard the words, and they were pierced in their heart. They said, what shall we do? And verse 41 says of the second chapter, that they that gladly received his word were baptized. Why? Because the word of the preacher, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And so we see when we begin to really believe and we begin to really be convinced about what the Lord has said, that's where we must start the Philippian jailer in Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. When he came in there and said, what, sirs, what must I do? They said, repent. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, is that all there was to it? Well, keep reading. Verse 33 says, when he believed that and went to his household and he preached more of the word to him and his family, that they were baptized. But I want you to see they began with putting your trust in the Lord. So we need to see that maybe our problem is why we don't live more committed, more dedicated. We really don't believe in the Lord. If I believe he's the Lord and he's the Christ, he's the Savior of the world, I'm going to live for him. I'm going to be dedicated to him. I'm going to do what he says. I'm not going to just play at religion and just do what I want to do and sometime not. No. And so the Holy Spirit is trying to convince us, trying to convict us, trying to make us see that our sin is we don't put all our trust in the Lord. Let's do that. Watch what happens to you if you do that. And you put your confidence in the Lord. But notice, not only is that the thing the Holy Spirit's going to do, notice Jesus said he will do it. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus said he's going to do this. So when I'm preaching this word to people, I try to tell the Lord, Lord, if you can use me, I'll try to stay out of the way. And you try to use me to get to somebody and pierce their heart so they will see they need to do something. And so Peter, the Lord here is telling us that what we need to see is, first of all, our situation with the Lord. We're sinners, and we fail. We have sinned, and we continue to do that. And Romans 3, verse 23 says, but now notice what else he says. He said, not only of sin, because they believe not on me, but of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you see me no more. Now, when Jesus said, I go to the Father, what's he talking about? He's not going to directly just go up and ascend into heaven, is he? How is he going to the Father? He's going to go through a trial, an all-night-long trial of injustice. If there had been a lawyer living today and somebody was being treated the way Jesus was treated, some of the best lawyers in the world would have got on that, and there would have been a lawsuit like you would have never seen. The most unjust trial that ever took place. And over, the questioning and the hiring of liars and all sorts of things. And yet Jesus went through that. And then he was beaten, spit on, and all sorts of humiliation, scourged, and then taken to the cross and nailed to the cross and hanging there stripped on the side of the road, hanging on the cross, and people coming by and even jeering at him then. That's how he's going to the Father. And then finally to give up the ghost and to be put in the tomb. And you know what? Most people look at that, the apostles looked at it, and they thought, well, it looks like it's over. But you know what they forgot? They forgot that Sunday was coming, you see. When you start thinking, oh, it looks like it's over, it looks like it's going to go the wrong way, let me tell you, Sunday's coming. I love it when Sunday comes. I get up and say, thank God, Sunday's come again. You think about the resurrection. And what that did to these men. You can see the change in them in the book of Acts because of the resurrection. This was the way Jesus would go back to the Father. He would glorify the Father on the cross, and the Father would glorify him by raising him up, and they didn't take his life. He said, I'll take it back. I'll give it up, and I'll take it back. I was going to tell about a soldier I read about years ago that was in World War I. This nurse was working on him, and he was unconscious, and he came to, and she said, sir, I'm sorry to tell you, but we've had you on pain medicine, and you've lost your leg. Your leg was blown off, and you've lost your leg. He said, ma'am, I didn't lose anything. She said, sir, your leg is gone. She said, I didn't lose my leg. I gave up my leg. I gave my leg for what I'm doing. You see what Jesus did? He gave it. They didn't take it away from him. He gave it. And so he took it back again, you see. And so it's a picture of him going to the Father. And so what we need to see is it's of righteousness because that's how he would make us right. And if you want to be right with God, you've got to go the way Jesus says. You've got to do what he tells you. If he tells you to repent, you need to repent. Tells you to make a confession that you believe he's the Christ, the Son of God, open your mouth and make that confession. If you believe that he's the Son of God and you want to change your life and be the kind of person, go down in the water of baptism, because that's what he said to do, you see. And we do that, why? Because we put our trust in the Lord. We believe in him. We know we're sinners. And we want to be right, because the gospel is the power to save us, and the righteousness of God is revealed in that gospel, and the wrath of God is revealed in it also. And so here, Jesus is helping us understand the challenge that we face as we see the Holy Spirit coming into the world and the work that he's doing even today. He's doing that work even today through these words while we sit here and you hear me in my stumbling way of my uneducated voice to read it to you. It's the power that's in this word that gets the job done. And we need to trust in that and rely upon it. So he says, not only of righteousness because I go to the Father and you'll see me no more, but then in verse 11, of judgment. Now here's another word. This word judgment here, of course, is the idea of the concept, again, of a decision being made. Judgment being brought. This is a judicial, a legal term, you see, of God, of his justice being brought forth. There's a judgment coming. And so Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to try to convince us of that. We're going to stand before the Lord and give an account of ourselves. Can you imagine? And the Lord said, why didn't you go to the Bible study and study the Bible with people and go to when the church came together and sing songs and encourage people and strengthen the church so it would grow and so people would get excited about it and be stirred up and you would help other people? You know, it's amazing when one person, I've seen this quite often in Madison, I'll work with somebody and they'd get stirred up and excited. I had a fellow that I worked with him as a teenager, and I knew he was on drugs and other things. Well, he finally went off and spent 10 years in prison. I prayed for him for 10 years. Didn't even know where. I knew he finally robbed a bank, got into all kinds of trouble. I kept praying for this old boy. I didn't know where he was. All of a sudden, one day, he calls me on the phone. He says, I'm up here in North Vernon. I want you to come up here. There's an old man having a Bible study. I want you to come up and join in a Bible study. I said, okay. So I went up there, and it was a man-made bunch of people, religion. They had come together and had a Bible study. And so I sat there and listened to it. After it was over, the fellow, the head deacon of this big church said, would you like to say a few things? I said, well, if you'd like for me to. He said, we're going to start the book of Ephesians. Could you kind of give us a little taste of what that? So I talked about 15 minutes about Ephesians. He said, could you come back next week and teach the class? I said, I'd love to. Well, you know what? We converted a bunch of those people. And the old boy that had been in prison, he's preaching like up a storm now. He's just doing he's converted his son. His son went to prison. He's got him converted. He's doing some preaching in prison. And it's just a marvel. And he stirs everybody else up. And they say sometimes, Frank, you need to settle down. You're too excited. He said, no, you need to get excited about it. That's what we need to do. I don't know how people keep from getting excited about it. We just don't, it seems like we're missing something. I don't know how we can just go through life and think, well, religion is just kind of a secondhand thing to me. I'll just go do some of it. But anyway, notice what he says about that. He says, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So here's the picture of the prince of this world, the devil who's trying to destroy us. And Jesus is going to put an end. He's going to put an end to what Satan is doing. Satan does not have the ability to overpower me unless I give it to him, you see. I can take this book and read it and get stirred up and excited. And I can do what God wants me to do. I can do all things through Christ. I can be productive in every kind of a way in the kingdom of God. There's plenty of room for everybody. And if we were just all, can you imagine when everybody in there tonight said, you know what, I'm going to step up a little bit. I'm going to tweak my spiritual carburetor tonight, and I'm going to run at a higher RPM from here on. I'm not going to be what I used to be. Can you imagine what would happen to this church if just one person in here did that tonight? If it just said, I'm going to get excited about this. And I'm going to get busy. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start praying to God to use me. And I'm going to try to talk to my friends. I'm going to go to work and try to live right and talk the right way and be what I ought to be. Because I know that there is a judgment day coming. And the Lord's going to come. And he could come before I drop my arm. He could come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on people who don't know him. Some of us, sometimes we just don't know God. And who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, my friend, that's what you need to do. Why don't you see the power that is in the word the Spirit has given to convict us that we're sinners And we need to believe in Jesus. And if we want to be right with God, we've got to come on His terms. And one day we're going to give an account for that. So let's take care of that problem today so we won't stand in condemnation before the Lord in the day of judgment. If you're in need to respond anyway, why don't you come on and sing the song?